Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, mightily moving. And when we follow him, we're with him in all that he's doing. We're part of the work. You know, there's one work of the Holy Spirit. Every time people follow him, they're included into that move of God. When we first met the Holy Spirit, he moved upon the face of the deep. The earth was flooded in and out of water. This was before God made Adam. This was way before God made Noah, to us anyway. And the earth had been judged. And the Holy Spirit was moving over the face of the deep, preparing for what God would do next. The Holy Spirit is the one who anoints us to do God's will. The anointing, God can anoint anyone to do something. But first, people have to carry that anointing. They have to be able to operate in his character. The anointing has rules. The Lord taught us this with Samson. He had rules he had to abide by, covenant that he could not break. There were covenants he couldn't break. And if he broke them, it could disqualify. We have to handle holy things the proper way. It's important for people to understand this. Just because the Lord anoints somebody to do something, that doesn't mean that they are locked into the kingdom of God and can't ever get out. Everybody that's saved, hear me good, everybody that's in the kingdom of God, saved and on their way to heaven, in God's will, they are there by their choice. It's God's will, but it's their choice. If they start loving the world somewhere, they can disqualify their own salvation. And people are teaching that once saved, always saved, no matter what. Once saved, always saved if you're in Christ, if you stay in Christ. We have to work out our own salvation. Everything that's a problem, it's up to us to work it out of our lives. If we don't want depression in our lives, we have to drive it out. Just like Israel was supposed to drive out the Canaanites. All the Canaanites, which included the Amalekites, the Jebusites, the Philistines, and all the other contrary witchcraft people. Because the king was coming, they were supposed to drive out the darkness and prepare for the king to come through that nation. The Egyptian was a foreign power, and their witchcraft almost destroyed Israel, but got them back into idolatry. Now, I wrote a book about that, the Spirit of Egypt. And you just have to, you can go on this website, on the Living Letters page, and read it for yourself. The king of Egypt was involved with the demise. The king of Egypt sent Hadad, the king of Syria, to be an enemy against Israel. He ran from Solomon. He was raised by Pharaoh, and he returned to be one of the worst kings that was set against Israel. Then Solomon, and beside that, before Solomon married Pharaoh's daughter, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the outside women. He always married these beautiful pagan women, and they turned his heart. That was a deadly blow. And in his bewitched state, Jeroboam, the man that God chose to give 10 tribes to, and when we first met Jeroboam, he was very industrious. And he made things happen. And he wasn't anointed as much as Saul was anointed. I don't even remember if the prophet Nathan poured oil on him or not. He anointed Saul with a vial of oil, but David with a horn of oil. And Jeroboam was anointed with cloth. But he ran to Egypt. And he became the king that turned Israel away from God. And that demon he brought back, full of witchcraft, it got on every king after him. And they all started operating just like Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. We have to drive out every fiery dart attack of the enemy. We can't choose to let it remain and fester and work against us. Some things may not exclude us from the kingdom of God, but it sure can make us miserable unnecessarily. So you don't have to live with depression. And people are not talking to the Holy Spirit. They're not communing with the Lord. That's why things linger on. But if you grow on, if you follow on to know the Lord, if you grow in the Spirit, if you grow in the things of God, you can conquer everything. Everything, every attack of the enemy, every disqualifier, everything, that every mindset is conquerable. You can conquer it. But the Word says we are more than conquerors. Beyond that, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be guided by the Holy Spirit. I will be guided by the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to do it, talk it, speak it, confess it. Go to Charles Capps' website. You can listen to the same things I did. He taught people how to confess the Word of God and change the facts in their life by faith, by speaking the Word and acting on it. The enemy will, you know, he'll attack you with a problem. And then he'll attack you with a mindset to not do anything about it, to be lazy against your future. If you're lazy, you're lazy against something. You can be lazy against the will of God. You can be lazy against your own will. You can be lazy against your education. You can be lazy against your boss, lazy against your job, lazy against your spouse. Some people don't even try to make their marriage better. They're lazy against their marriage. And they won't raise their children. They're lazy against their children. They're lazy against their pastor, against their church, against their friends. When it's time for them to be supported, they're lazy against their people. That's a temptation that we need to kill. We can destroy it. We don't have to put up with it. If you feel lazy, just speak and act. I love God's will. Love is motivation. And also anger. Are you angry at Satan? That's motivation too. Everything I do it because I love God, the bonus is I'm mad at Satan, so I make sure I do things to bother him. But that's not why I do God's will. I do God's will because I love God. And then I make sure I do it because it bothers Satan. I want to get him back for what he did to my folks, to what he did for my, what he's doing against the people of God. And, you know, God said, vengeance is mine, and I want that vengeance to happen. Every time the enemy attack me, bother me, aggravate me, I claim souls as my revenge. I said, Lord, help me win more people. I want revenge. He's trying to hinder me so that people can't get saved. So that's the very thing I throw back at him. Lord, help me win more souls. I hate laziness. Laziness is a death that we don't have to have. So I speak life over my life. I speak life to help me. You don't have to put up with laziness or any form of darkness. So I speak the word. I speak that I will do God's will. I got a new confession. I was considering how sometimes I don't minister to people when I could. You know, in my dark past before I got saved, I was shy. My daddy didn't talk much, and I didn't talk much, and I didn't know how to start conversations good. Now, I'm a minister. I love God. I'm anointed to do what I do. I made many milestones against being shy. I'm not really shy now. But sometimes I don't have this, you know, I don't always know how to begin a good conversation with people. Paul said, you know, talk about your weakness. That way people can pray for you to help you out. He asked people to pray for boldness. But see, now the hour is late. What if I minister on the radio and website and millions of people get saved, but then there are people that I see often and I don't even minister the word to them? That doesn't make sense. If I can. Some people don't have ears to hear. And last night I was thinking, I said, Lord, I really want to do more for you. I want to do all that I can do. And then I had a new confession came to me. I will live by the wisdom of the Holy Ghost. I will live by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. I kept saying, I will live by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. In every situation, in every single case, and all the people I care about and want to help, I pray for wisdom. And the Holy Spirit can give me what I need to say at the right strategic time. Sometimes you don't need to say anything. Sometimes people expect you to say something, and they got their guards up. But the Holy Spirit can use me like a tool, saying that I will live by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. It helps condition me to be attentive and to notice what his promptings, so that I can act strategically and not miss out on good opportunities. Every day God gives us golden opportunities, whether we realize it or not. These golden opportunities are not just things that men would want, but they're also strategic times in our day that we can say something that will really help people. The golden opportunity can be to speak kind words, to be caring, to be a listener, to seize opportunities. You know, don't let yourself go out of the house in bitterness. You answer the phone abruptly to somebody that you could have been a blessing to. And sometimes it could have meant you could have said something that would have been the key to your promotion. Did you know business people scout? They look for good people. Opportunities don't just come out of the sky. Some people are watching and looking for good people to fit in their business and what they're doing. And the Lord is trying to link you to the right people for the best opportunities. And sometimes that's the key in the path that you will meet the best spouse. And you want to be on point with what God is doing. People meet their spouses at college and at work. Sometimes getting the right job is key to your future and your children's future. The way you treat people can make the difference. Some people end up working a job they really don't like, but they got that job. But God would have given them a better one if they had a better attitude. Now, a good attitude is not just a get-rich-quick scheme. This is your way of life. And if you continue to follow God in doing His principles, greater opportunities open up, and the Holy Spirit can guide you in it easily. It's easier for Him to get you where you need to be. I'm not just saying this is true. You don't always see every little golden opportunity to come. You just keep doing the will of God and they form. You're not missing out if you're following God. Following God means a lot, folks. There's so much into it. I said earlier, the Lord can anoint people, anybody to do something, and they'll have the ability. But can they keep the covenant? And see, when the Lord anoints people, that doesn't mean that everything, that they're going to go to heaven no matter what. That has nothing to do with it. The anointing is to help us do something specific. It is, I asked him his definition of the anointing. He said it's a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. Samson was anointed to kill and judge. He was anointed. He was good at it. But the enemy seduced him through a woman. Somebody's going to come and try to get you to not do what you should be doing. And you have to red flag them. This time it was a seductive woman that he thought was a friend. And the enemy used her as a mask to figure out what to do to break the covenant, to neutralize him and make him sterile against the things of God. But he grew his hat back and started keeping covenant. And he killed more people in his death than his life. So it's important to follow God and do all that's in God's heart. Everything that you do is important. And we need to know what God can do in our lives. Everything that God says is important. Now, salvation is because you believed on Jesus Christ and you were washed in His blood. And you don't go out and choose to sin. People choose to sin. They get in sin because they love the world somewhere, and the world, in loving the world, they do things they shouldn't do. It hardens the heart. Over time, you'll choose to do that instead of what God said do. When people are sinning, they're choosing to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil all over again, the thing that got them in trouble. And God can't drag you to heaven after you've made a choice like that. Everybody that go to heaven, everybody that stay in the kingdom of God, they love God and they choose to remain in the kingdom of God on purpose, with intent. But when you're anointed to do something, you have God's ability to your sanction. You have His ability to perform that task and finish it. And I noticed something about the Lord, how when He anoints us, it doesn't mean that we're locked in, but it means that we have the ability to do this. We've earned His trust in that area somewhere. When God anoints somebody, they can finish. They're anointed to do something, and they can do it right, and they can go to heaven, and they can do it if they want to. But that doesn't mean they will. And it also, you know, I thought about how Saul, once he was king, God had to fire him. And I said, Lord, You knew that he would fall, but You anointed him. He said he did everything else right. And he didn't have to fall. God don't make a choice, even if He know that we might fall or will fall. If we did everything else up to that point to be promoted, He will promote you. You just have to stay in the love of God. If you deviate, you can change everything and get fired. Well, Lucifer did it. He was anointed. He was an anointed cherub. Saul did it. He listened to the people more than God through fear. We have to consider what God says and stay in the love of God, and we're safe. Just because we're anointed don't mean that we'll finish our course and do everything we should do. But it does mean we can choose to do it and finish our course, and that's what we should do. I'm out of time, way out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mighty move in throughout our lives. The next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.